new day. Jay, it's a new day. It's a new day. A new day. Go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be primarily out of this scripture today. It'll also be on your screen. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. If you don't know where to buy a Bible, we have a Bible for you. Or you can also go to Walmart. They have Bibles too. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you, everyone say now. Yeah. Now. What's the time meaning on now?
Present.
Now. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. The word now is actually really interesting. If you look up the Greek meaning of it, you find out that word is found just shy of 3,000 times in the New Testament. That's in there a lot. But in English translated from Greek, we don't really have anything that this word can be. If you open up your Bible, you'll find the word changed to but, and, now, then, also. So anytime you see those words in the Bible, it's this Greek word. The word is day. D-E, spelled D-E, pronounced day. The definition is it serves to mark a transition to something new. Now, something is happening. Something new is coming. Something is on its way. A new day. I don't know about you, but have you ever had just an awful, rotten, no good, horrible day? I think that's a movie. Isn't that a movie or something? Yeah, it's also a movie. It's a book too? That makes sense. Like, all the good movies come from books. Sometimes you just need a reset on your day. Sometimes you just need something to kick over, something just to happen. Have you ever felt like you've been stuck in like the same day for months on it? Like you just need that thing to kick over? Paul actually gives an instruction booklet here in these three sentences of how to experience that. So point number one, it's found in verse 12. Your past is a plow. In order to have a new mindset, a new feeling of something new is happening, for your day to kick over from whatever it was to whatever it could be, you need to understand your past is a plow. And you just got to imagine that tension between, I don't know if you've ever seen a plow being pulled by an ox or a horse. It's a big piece of equipment that just rips through this dirt and this hard soil and just tears up the ground. I want you to imagine that's what happens with our past. It's actually a plow digging deeper into our lives to really unlock the future days that we have in store. We have to have that mindset. Our past is actually a plow. Our past is not annoying. It's not frustrating. It's not an inconvenience. It's a plow to something new. Verse 12 again. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. So in first part of understanding your past as a plow, he says, now I want you to know. A, it's all about what you think. What goes in your mind enables you to have new days, fresh days, exciting days. If you can change your mindset and your outlook on life, all of a sudden your days will start turning from ugh to, man, I can't wait to get up today. It all starts in your mind by the grace of God. It's what you think. It's not a coincidence he starts off by saying, I want you to know. I want you to know. Know is such a strong word. It's not I want you to think about. That's not the word here. It's I want you to know. I want you to be convicted in your mind that filters down to your soul. Every being in your fiber will know your past is a plow. You need to know it. I want you to know. B, Then he specifies who. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, be who you are. In order to have a new day, you really need to know who you are. Who you are typically is not what other people say about you. It's about what God says about you. And having a new day, do you know most people get frustrated in life because of the people they are around? You don't need to look left and right now, okay? It's not the moment to do that. You need to know who you are. You need to know. And the only way to get that is to discover what God says about you. Crack open your dusty Bible. Turn on the little app that hasn't been opened, and it'll say it needs 52 updates. Bible app. Know who you are. Paul says, you're a brother and sister. We're all in this together. I think if you want to go deeper in this verse, you need to understand brothers and sisters are equals. There's no one platformed or pedestaled. We're all equal to a father. There's no one better, no one worse. And I think that's one of the traps, if you will, of the enemy, is to think, you know what, that person's better than me, so I shouldn't even try because I'd never be able to achieve that platform. That's stupid. Don't think that. Paul's saying we're brothers and sisters. Paul, even for someone like Paul to say that, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, to say, no, we're equals. If anyone could brag, it would be Paul. Paul accomplished more in his life than all of us combined, okay? And he's still saying, we're equal. You need to know who you are. C. Going back to the verse, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. The key word is served. In C, it says, what serves you? What serves you? There is straight up a dog just staring at me right now through the door. Janelle, can you just go slowly over there? Just go ahead and close the door. Thank you. Appreciate that. Just threw me off. It's those little ones are, they're Riley. Okay, you don't know what's going to happen. Just staring at me. Janelle knows. She's like the dog whisperer. She knows all about her life expression. She knows all about dogs. What serves? We need to get back on track. We got a lot of scripture to go through today. What serves you? What's it? Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served. To advance the gospel. Get that trigger in your mind. What has happened to me has actually been serving me. My past has been serving me. One of the biggest hiccups we have in this life is if we think for one moment that we're actually a slave to something else. But in reality, God has transformed it and flipped it on its side so that we are being served by our past to enable the gospel to advance in this kingdom. You want your past to be a plow, you need to know that your past has been serving you for the purpose of God. By the grace of God, we have new beginnings. Don't ever get stuck in the mind trap of, well, you don't know what I've done, you don't know where I've been, you don't know what I've seen, you don't know all the, yeah. God knows, and he's using it, throwing it in the devil's face and saying, you know what was meant to kill you, harm you, and destroy you has actually been serving you to advance the kingdom, and now more people know Jesus because of you. Right. It is serving you. Your past has served you well. But yeah, it was hard. Yeah, but you got through it. Right. Verse 13. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. For Christ. as a result, has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. It is so easy to live our lives without the "for Christ," and it's just evident of our situations to every single other person. The most critical aspect of this is "for Christ," but it's the easiest part to leave off. I was, this last week, I don't really enjoy going to the eye doctor. Does anyone like the eye doctor?
No.
No? No one likes it. Does anyone like really enjoy it? Patty likes the eye doctor. You're like, I like to see better things. I just don't like that. They tell me the same thing every time. It's like, your eyes are healthy, do what you keep doing, blah, blah, blah. But I never get that. I went and I think I've been to a real eye doctor maybe 4 times in my life. I don't know. And I remember I went a few times ago because I kept getting headaches because I work at a computer. I do marketing stuff. I do graphics, all stuff. So I get these headaches and my eyes would hurt a bunch. So they gave me prescription eyeglasses. And every time I wore them, I just feel like I want to throw up and my headaches would hurt more. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So then this last time I went to the eye doctor. So I've had the same pair of eyeglasses for 5-6 years maybe. Like pristine condition. Like I pull it out and he's like, how many years have you had these? And he pulls out and he's like, are you sure? There's not even like a fingerprint on this. I'm like, I know. So took it out. He's looking at it. And I'm like, you know, I'm getting sick. My eyes are hurting at the computer. I wear my glasses and it makes me want to throw up. Like, what do I need to do here? And so he's like, well, we'll shoot a laser through it. We can see the prescription. He shoots it. And he's like, you wear these at the computer? I'm like, yeah. It's for glasses to wear at a computer. Where else are we wearing these glasses? And he's like, well, I'm sorry. So whoever your past doctor was gave you driving glasses to wear at a computer. And I was like, so what does that mean? He goes, so your eyes are working twice as hard when you put your glasses on at a computer. And he's like, can you see really far with these glasses? I'm like, yeah, I can see like, perfect vision, super far away. And he's like, yeah, you need different glasses. And I was like, oh, thank you. He's like, so put these in your car. I was like, but I wear sunglasses. And then that was a whole other conversation. But, yeah, so then he's like, well, we'll get you, like, reading glasses for at the computer. So I tried on, and I was like, oh, I don't want to throw up when I wear these. And he's like, you're welcome. And this doctor's fantastic. He's so funny. Has anyone been to, was it Two Trees Optometry? That's, no one? Okay, he's great. Little plug, he's not sponsoring in any way. He's great. Number 2, your reason is critical. Your reason is critical. My biggest faux pas, if you will, of getting my original glasses was I didn't remind the doctor that I would only be using the glasses to sit at my computer. The reason I was getting glasses was just to sit in front of a computer, not to drive around with them, not to look really far. I had a reason, and I didn't specify that to the person putting it together. The reason. Your reason is critical. Going back to verse, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard, fancy way of saying jailer, people that make sure he stays in chains, mm-hmm. A, your reason must be critically clear for who's against you. Who's against you? So the enemy is trying to keep you down, make you have a bad day, whatever it is, who's ever in your business, telling you how bad you are, whatever, make sure your reason for why you're on this planet is crystal clear to them. How do you do that? Man, have a great day. You know, God loves you. You flip it around on them. Being nice to someone who hates you, the Bible says it's like pouring hot coals on their head. Let me say you're awesome. Just kidding. Who's against you? I don't know. This is a strong coffee today. I'm just telling you. Your reason is critical. Who's against you? The reason must be known. It has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else. Everyone else is indicating who else is in the jail with him. All the people that hate him and all the people that are in the same boat, you have to have a crystal clear understanding of the reason why you're on this planet, and it has to be known to them. When the enemy throws something in your face, you say, no, I'm a child of the King Most High. I am on this planet to do dot, 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 dot. When people are in the same boat with you, you encourage them up saying, you know what? I found my purpose. I found my understanding. You can too. There is a reason why you are here. And the last part of the verse, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Last person talked about in the story who asked to have the reason critical. We already touched on point one, but he repeats in point two, so it's valid enough to bring it up again. See who's in the mirror. Who's in the mirror? The last person that your reason for being on this planet has to be crystal clear has to be to the person in the mirror, yourself. You need to make sure, without a shadow of a doubt, you know why you're here. Or else you wake up one day and it's 30 years later. There is nothing more annoying on this planet than living with regret. I look back at my high school when I found Jesus and I walked around. There are so many more things I could have done in my school, but I just didn't. I look back with regret. I have so many friends right now that just their life is just a crazy mess. And I'm like, could I have changed their life by what I shared with them back then? I can do it now, but I have the regret of missing out on all those years. Make sure the person in the mirror knows exactly their purpose. Don't live with regret. Number three, and having a brand new day, results matter. Number three, results matter. It's one thing to wake them and say, yeah, I'm going to have a good day. But it's another thing when you can get measurable results. Right? It just keeps your day moving forward. When you can identify positive results from your day, it propels you to move forward in that day, to keep going, and then try for the next day too. Verse 14, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. A, results. The first result you're going to see is confidence. You're going to see confidence in yourself, and you're going to see confidence in the people that you inspire and encourage. That is a valid result that you will achieve. When you know who you are in Christ and you start encouraging people, you're going to start seeing confidence skyrocket in people around you. I mean, you could tell any kid that you love them and you hug them and they're smart and they're awesome. Their confidence is measurable. It just oozes off of them. Have you ever seen that? When a kid is encouraged versus not encouraged? Confidence. B, the second aspect of this verse is dare. Most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more. When we know who we are in Christ and we start encouraging people, they will take risks that they will not take before. They will do things that they have never done before. They will be encouraged to do things beyond anything that they believe they could ever have done in the first place. Dare. It'll knock people out of their comfort zone the best. All of a sudden, when people have confidence, they're willing to dare. Doesn't matter what age you are. I think the younger you are, your dares look different than the more blessed with age you are. Is that the polite way to say? I don't know. Thank you. Dare. Dare. With young people, they might dare to do crazy things by talking to people, and and more blessed with age, you might start daring to dream again, daring to discover your purpose, daring to say, maybe this isn't the end, but it's really just the beginning. Become more confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim. Proclaim. C is proclaim. There's a difference between saying and proclaiming. And all goes back to point number one, subpoint A. I don't know, is that how you say it? Proclaim. It's because you know. Saying something you can know or not know, and you're just saying it, and it could be empty, it could be full, whatever. But when you proclaim something, it's because you know it deep down inside of your soul, and there is nothing that you'll stop at getting it out. You're proclaiming it. Proclaim. And I'm breaking the mold because I'm going to D right now. I know. It's shocking. That's what? I can break the mold, guys. Go into D. Terrified. What? Dare to go to D. Paul had four, so I can have four in this. Proclaim the gospel without fear. The moment that you start understanding your purpose on this life and you start deciding to live out a new day and you start encouraging people, all of a sudden you and them will lose fear. Fear of failure, fear of anything that will hold you back, fear of not being good enough, fear of rejection. Fear starts shedding off of you when you start knowing who you are in Christ and you start telling others who they are in Christ. You will live without fear. Fear. It's a new day. Let's close your eyes. Jake, can you come on up? I want to close out in a worship song together. A new day. Lord, we thank you for new days that you give us. We thank you that our past is not a hindrance, but it is serving us for our future. Lord, encourage us, build us up, and prepare us for our day today and all the days to come. Give us confidence, give us encouragement, and give us an understanding and insight into our purpose so we can live out our best life now. God, I pray for a supernatural blessing in every single person we encounter. People that we've been encountering at our workplace for years on end would start seeing something new and fresh in our lives, a new excitement. Jesus, I pray that as we live in the 805, we'd start seeing that number enacted biblically. A new life based off of your grace, a new beginning from your grace, God. Let it filter through this city and people know that you're real. In your mighty name, amen. Let's worship God together.